okay, I got that out of my system. I just really felt, you know, sometimes I just, I'm praying and I'm like, hey, you know what? We just really need to shout over the situation, don't we? And you know what? For those that are still praying, you can still pray because we really want to see the victory. I really feel that this church, you know, the Lord has, we have just honored the presence of God in this place. And I was thinking about, even before starting the message, what 2012 will bring. It's going to be incredible, isn't it? You know, in 2011 has been, they say, it's been a year of transition. Anybody agree? Yeah. And 2012 is, we're going through it. We're going to go through. And whatever it is, I don't know whatever it is, but I just know that we're going to see 2012. I actually watched a documentary about 2 months ago, and I'm not, please hear me in this, I'm not judging these people in any shape or form, but where there was groups of people out there that were preparing for the world to end, you know, that kind of thing. And I just really believe that God has so much more for us that we have not seen. We have not seen what he's going to do. And so there's more. So I want to speak positively into that. I want to speak into our future. I actually want to see my grandson grow up and get married and have children. Who wants to see that? I want to see Andrea and I want to see Aaron get married. I want to go to their weddings. Pardon? No. Separately. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Stephen said to each other. Sorry. Not them. Sorry. Aaron just walked out. No. No, I'm not doing the matchmaking thing, but I just really felt that in this season, I felt we just really, really, really need to give the Lord, you know, the victory, and we need to give him the honor and glory, and we need to thank him for what he's brought us through. I know that sometimes the things that we've gone through seem really difficult, and we want to run and hide, but you know what? This is not a time to run and hide. This is a time to really just go for it, and that's what these gals were saying this morning. I love it when Teresa starts speaking because it goes into like a power for prophetic word. And she's like, you know. So anyways, I think it's really cool because usually what she says is really spot on. So it's incredible. But I was thinking back for 2011 and even before that, some of the prophetic words that have been spoken over this church. And I just, some of them were John and Carol Arnott for the last, I'd say, 2 years. The Lord has been speaking to them about getting ready. So how many people feel like we've been getting ready? Yeah, we've been getting ready. You know, I even think of Clark this morning. You know, Clark's got, the doctors say this about his health, but the guy is like still running the full, you know, 100 yards every day. And he's, the amazing part, you know, is that he knows that there's more. And, you know, he's such an encourager for Stephen and I, constantly coming up to us, constantly saying, go for it, you know. And I love it that, you know, he's an intercession every Wednesday, and he's just praying. And so, you know, God, you get the glory for that one because, you know, he's still, I mean, the doctors are actually puzzled in terms of what is going on in his life. I think of probably about a month ago, we gave you a prophetic, or showed you a prophetic word that Barbara Yoder gave to this ministry. I guess in October, and one of the things that she said was, you know, was get ready, but spend more time with God. Isn't that right? You know, I feel like even in this season, that when Stephen and I recently, I just came off a 40-day TV fast, and it's actually kind of interesting, when you've been on a TV fast, and you're sort of draining yourself of the toxins and things of, you know, of the TV, when you start watching some of the stuff again, you're like, man, this isn't very nice, you know. And it's not that I watch any, you know, like violent shows or anything. I mean, I watch Storage Wars. I was watching that last night. You know, it's quite interesting. I know, who watched Storage Wars? Yeah, I know. Yeah, thank you, June. But anyways, I find that, you know, that for me personally, just what comes off of the television affects my dream life. And so the fact that, you know, spending more time with God, listening to what he's going to say in this next season, I want to hear what he says. I want to know what to lay aside. I want to know where to go. It was interesting. On Friday night, actually, I'll share it in a minute. But and then Chris DePray was here probably about a month ago, And he's talked about how God was going to do something new. And we've been hearing that. He talked about what was happening, what we used to do before wasn't going to work because what he was going to do was new. Now, that doesn't give us any hint of what God's going to do, does it? No. But all we need to do at this point is just trust him. We need to walk in that place of faith and trust, and we need just to believe, you know, okay, God, you get the victory. You get the glory. You get the honor. We spend time with him. We just love on him. We minister to him. That's why I love about worship. On Sunday morning, and even during the week when I'm at home, I just love to be in his presence. I love to feel his presence. I know that there's been many people here that have had had dreams. Was it Betty Ann a couple of weeks ago had a dream about angels blowing trumpets, and then there was the throne that was there. Interesting enough, it was very interesting. A number of years ago, we had a gentleman named Paul Cox, and he was just visiting, and he came and he said we had him come in the middle of the week, and he was praying for just the sanctuary because we were trying to think, what's going on, God? What's going on? And he said, oh, it's interesting. I see the throne halfway back. And I was just like, oh. But I didn't get the revelation. But it was very interesting how even how we've been in this transition of bringing John and Patricia Bootsman and Jonathan Clark here. I mean, that's been like, you know, that's been a walk of obedience, of bringing the presence of God even more. God, what do you want to do? I don't know how many of you have come during the week when we've been doing the House of Prayer here. It's been an incredible time. I know we get a few people that come in and out, but it's Tuesdays, Thursday and Friday mornings, Tuesday nights and Thursday nights, I think it is. Yeah, and then Wednesday mornings we meet in the House of Prayer and we just go for, we just pray. Everybody gets to pray. So we're just praying. We're just calling in what God is saying. And I get really excited when I see what God's going to do. It's very even interesting this morning. In my prayers last night, I was like, and you have to know, I said, oh God, please help me today. I don't know if anybody ever prays that, but I'm like, please help me today, God. Please let me know that you're with me. You know, and you don't know how many people came up to me. And that was a prayer that I prayed out to God this, like last night and all this morning, just pleading for God, please, please be here. Please come, you know, with power this morning. Please be with every aspect of the service. I'm desperate. And it was incredible how the Lord just brought people out of the blue that normally don't talk to me and just affirmed what he was going to do this morning. It was interesting that one of our intercessors came up this morning and said that there was two huge angels up here. And I was like, oh, that's good. That's probably why I was getting hot. It's not that I'm going to be 50 or anything. I know. Perimenopause. Break that off. I know. But I think it's the lights. I have to laugh. Anyways, I just wanted to go back just to remind you of where we've come from. In 1994, when the Holy Spirit fell back at our little church on Dixie and Derry Road, you know, one of the things that Stephen and I really loved about that was that the word of God, of course, but also the power of testimony. And I was thinking back, you know, Lord, there's been so many victories over the years that have happened in this place. I was reminded of the one gal, and Carol, I don't know if you remember, but she had a pacemaker. There's what was her name? Carol Bird? Berg. Okay, we'll say it right. But anyways, she had a pacemaker, and I remember that she gave testimony. So this is while Stephen and I are still in our other denomination. And so we're listening, and it was a great denomination, and we're listening to this lady give testimony about how the Lord healed her and how her pacemaker actually exploded inside of her, and her heart began to beat again. Isn't that incredible? The power of testimony. You know, and it's funny, like, you know, I'm going to declare I have a good memory, but I remember that one. That one impacted me. That testimony, I'm like, that's a victory. Can you imagine what the doctors were thinking when she went to the doctors and she's like, you know, and they're trying to listen to her and her heart, and they're hearing her heart, they're not hearing her pacemaker, you know, that kind of thing. And so I was just really encouraged by that. I even think of the testimonies that are in this place. I remember a couple of months ago, there was a gal in our church here that came up to me, and we began to pray for her son-in-law that wasn't doing so well. And I don't know if she's in the congregation this morning. But we just began to believe that, you know, what the doctor said wouldn't happen because the doctors weren't giving a good prognosis in terms of his health. And then the next time I saw her, she's saying he's still living. You know, and that's a good thing, isn't it? We want those things. The other, you know, and I can go, yes, you know, and those are the things that I just want to get up on the mountaintops and show, yes, he's still living. I think of Bill Raycroft, where last December he went to the doctor, and the doctor basically said, you have 3 months, get everything in order. And bless Bill and Mary Audrey, because they really had to, you know, go through everything. They had to be diligent and, okay, what do we do? You know, how does, I think I remember Mary Audrey even saying he was taping how to work the DVD player. See, I would have to get that, you know, kind of thing. So, because Mary Audrey didn't know how to work those kind of things. You don't think about those things, you know, but, you know, Bill's in his 80s. Well, we go to visit him, and this was an incredible testimony, but the day we went to visit him to actually plan his funeral, that he had just gotten a great report from the doctor. And so we said, hey, we're not planning that funeral at all. And we just began to give praise and glory, and like in our hearts we were like, yes, God, you know, for what you're doing. Well, you know, the one thing that he had said before that was, I really wanted to see another Christmas. Well, look at it. It's December 4th today, you know, and he's going to see another Christmas. And, you know, victory. You know, so if you're, but then it was interesting. We were sharing that in the pastor's meeting the other night, and I was sharing it, and wasn't it good? And then Sam Duncan pipes up, and he says, well, we prayed that same thing for my grandmother, and she survived 8 Christmases. And so I thought, wouldn't that be great, you know? And I thought, that just, you know, I was kind of limiting God to this Christmas. And I thought, when Sam sort of said 8 Christmases, I said, yes. So, you know, as a church, let's believe for Bill Raycroft to live at least another 8 Christmases. Yeah. Anyways, I thought, well, you know, we really do want to just be in that place where we want to go to the mountaintops and we want to begin to celebrate the Lord. That's why the power of our testimony is so important. The power of our testimony changes everything, doesn't it? When we begin to speak it out. Look at Daniel. Now, in Daniel 6:22, it says, my God sent his angels and he shut the mouths of the lions. So he said that right after, and you can only imagine what was happening in that situation. But here's Daniel, you know, who's been faithful in praying. He's done everything he knows that his father's asked him to do. And then all of a sudden, he gets thrown into the den. The stone gets rolled in front. He's locked in there with some lions. Now, you can only imagine. You can only imagine that whatever happened in there, whatever. I'm sure that when the lions' mouths were shut, he was sitting there going, now this is what I would be thinking, this is going to make a great testimony when I get out of here, you know, that kind of thing. And then when you read the scriptures, it says in the Bible, it says that the king came and he couldn't sleep that night, and he comes to the entrance of the tomb and he's like, Daniel, are you there? You know, and yes, I'm there. And then when it says in Daniel 6:22, it says, my God sent his angels and he shut the mouths of the lions. Well, I know that very victory changed the way the king looked at God, didn't it? And it did a miracle. And that's the key thing, you know, that the victories that we need to be declaring these days are the ones that are going to change people. I know that for surely my very good friend who's been suffering with melanoma, and it's been very difficult because there's been so much prayer that's gone out for that. But I know when she's written on her little blog, she does a little blog, was really cute, but and I like it because I like to know what she's going through. But she's always giving glory and honor to God. But Joanne actually goes in there and she just begins. Joanne brings her to the doctors quite often, and when she's having a treatment, Joanne goes in there and she begins to witness to people. So out of that, there's some victory in there, isn't there? Which is incredible. But I also want to believe for Shirley. Yes? And we're just declaring right now for Shirley that every cancerous cell would just come out of her body and that those tumors would just come right off of her leg right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, you would get the glory, you would get the honor. Father, I thank you, Lord, that the doctors will have to write in their medical books, we don't understand what happened. The only thing, it had to be a miracle, it had to be God. And that's the victory that he gets in the middle of that. You know, I just love it. And so that's what I want to keep praying. I want to really just keep praying that the Lord is going to do that, even in the midst of bad stuff. You know, Stephen and I are, I think there's just something about us that I kind of get irritated when things happen that aren't good. You know, it's like when you're sick. Did anybody get irritated when you're sick? You know, and I, this is what it is me. I don't have time to be sick. And it's not that I'm busy, but it just irritates me that I'm sick. But I really just, so I'm constantly praying and saying, God, please come and do a miracle. Please come and do a miracle. And he just constantly doing it. Look at Esther. When I look at her and just all that she went through, the key thing for Esther is that she was obedient, wasn't she? She was obedient in what God had asked her to do. And after praying and fasting, and she had all the Israelites praying and fasting with her, and the key thing here is that she got favor, didn't she? And, you know, I believe that there's some people in here right now that actually just, if you are in a season of praying and fasting, can you just raise your hands for a minute? Anybody? Yeah. Well, I just want to bless you. Don't worry, nobody's looking at you. I just wanted to know I wasn't speaking. But there might be people on the internet too. But I really feel that out of that praying and fasting, that the Lord brought clarity into her life. And that's what the Lord's going to do. He's going to bring clear words for you in terms of the situation and what's going to happen. And there's going to be favor with the king. And when you read the book of Esther, it's incredible. You look at David and Goliath. You know, David, you know, here's this little man, and the Lord gave him strategies to beat the giant, didn't he? And you know what? Sometimes I know there's a book, oh, I just can't remember the book of it right now, but it talks about giants in the land. And we don't want those giants in the land to push us back, do we? We want just to say they're just giants. Yeah, they're just giants. They're just irritating things. They're in our way. And we want to be able to push forward, don't we? Just like David, you know, like in the natural, everybody. And the thing is, when you read that story, everybody else was all worked up about Goliath, weren't they? They were like, oh, dear me, you know, he's going to chop your, you know, like, or chop you into pieces. He's this big. But, you know, I know that there's people in this room today, because I've talked to some of them, that really need strategies from heaven for what God is going to do. And it appears right now that the giants are big. And, you know, that's the thing. Stephen and I don't say constantly, but sometimes there's things that come against us, and we really have to fight it. We have to believe that God is for us and not against us. We have to believe that the giants are little and that we're going to move forward. And you've got to remember sometimes those words that the Lord has spoken either through scripture or through people that you're going to make it. You know, and that's the key thing that I just really felt this morning, just to say that you're going to get the victory because the Lord is going to give you the strategies. When you look at the nation of Israel, and I'm just going to read this part, but it says, the nation of Israel over 40 years had many victories, and when they entered the promised land, they defeated their enemies. So they took possession of the land where there were giants. And we're just about, and we are right now taking possession of the land, aren't we? We're like, this is our land. This is our ground. This is the river of God. This is the anointing that God has placed in here. And we have taken it back, haven't we? And we just need to begin to declare in the heavenlies, God, you have given us this land. This is a land that you have given us. This is ours, and we're standing in it. And you know, sometimes in the midst of times, you know, you want to look at situations and you're like, oh God, I want to give you the victory, even though it doesn't seem like it. I think of Ken here, who's laughing, who's constantly coming up to me, you know, a man of faith, living by faith, always saying, okay, Lord, what are you going to do? Got to look at the time. One of the things, Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts him and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. How many people here like worshiping? Yeah. And sometimes, you know what, we come into a situation, and we really don't feel like worshiping. Anybody ever feel like that? Yeah, I tell sometimes I do that. But I have to press in, don't I? But I love that. I love Psalm 28:7 when it says, the Lord is my strength and my shield, and I'm going to trust him, my heart trust him, and I'm going to leap for joy. I really feel that, you know, that this is a season, and I'm going to release you to brag. Now, bragging's good. You know what? I have a grandson. He's the cutest grandson in the whole world. I'm sorry for anybody else who have grandchildren, but he is so cute. He's got a little bit of a cold right now, but he's so cute. When he even coughs, he's cute. You know, what he does is cute. The other day, he was sitting on the floor, and it's a hardwood floor, and he's not, he wants to crawl, but I think he wants to get, you know, get going. And so he gets a little frustrated. So he was sitting on his bum, and he was moving with his hands, his bum, so he could move. That's cute. But anyways, you got to look on Facebook. It's the only reason I do Facebook. I think that it's time to brag about God. Yeah. You know, Leslie, I was thinking, looking at Leslie there. The other, probably a couple months ago, we were in the bookstore when the presence of God started to increase in this place even more. And we just started to brag about God. We were like, oh, God, you're so incredible. You're so loving. You're so kind. We love your presence. And so I think I just want to release you to begin to come in and go, guess what happened this week? And it's not, you know, you got it. It's about asking God. It's saying, God, look what you did. Look what you did this week. And we want to do that, don't we? Because so often when we're in the workplace or in our lives, we kind of talk about the negative stuff. And I'm not saying don't talk about the negative stuff, but I think I hear more negative than positive. And so I always think Stephen and I tend to be the ones where let's look at the positive in this situation. I think it's just the way we were raised that we prefer to be up there than down here. Because when you're down here, it's a little cloudy. Things look a little bleak. You know, you're like, you know, the cloud is over there and your woe is me and you can't see for the cloud. But when you're up there, you get his eyes. You get his view. You get to see his beauty. You get to experience his presence and the victory. And that's what we want to do, right? It was interesting here on Friday night, and I don't know how many would have been here Friday night, but Friday night we were worshiping, and I really felt, and I was reminded of Betty Ann, but I saw trumpeters, but this time you saw them at the front, I saw them over here, and I saw angels blowing trumpets, and I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, what are the angels for? What are they blowing the trumpets for? And the Father told me that it was to send confusion in the enemy's camp. And, you know, that's what we want, don't we? That's what I liked about the bishop when he said, you know, well, you know what he said. I know, I'm so shy. But, you know, at that point, we began to really, really pray. Stephen and I got up here and we began to pray over people and began to declare and breaking things off of people. And it was interesting because I had an email from a precious gal who had gone through a really difficult week this past week. And she met with her one of her pastors because she goes to another campus. But it was interesting. Sometimes in the midst of what you're feeling and, oh, God, why am I feeling the onslaught? Why am I feeling this? We have to really just change our direction, don't we, so that we can just experience the presence of God. Okay, so what I wanted to say was that God is about to do something that is incredible, and we just need to be ready. I think after being in this church, we'll be 17 and a half years come January. Connie and Jeremy have been around how long? 20-something? 22 years. It's amazing, isn't it? But trumpets are the purpose, and I just want to read this, and the purpose of a trumpet is, or one of the purposes of a trumpet is to let the people know that we are going to win. Our God is with us. We are about to see a miracle. It was used to motivate and build people's faith and expectation. How about that? That's why I like I think Janice and Jimmy Poon, they blow their trumpets. Interesting enough, when I went to a conference, there was a whole bunch of people behind me blowing trumpets, and all I could smell was yucky cheese whiz or something. And I was like, what is that? Somebody's got body odor or something. And then found out later it's actually from the trumpet. So every time the trumpet blew, I plugged my nose because I thought I was going to throw up. But I just thought I'd put that little insight. So I don't know what your trumpet smells like. I don't know if it smells. But that was like five of those trumpeters blowing. Yeah, now they're going to smell. Does it smell? Yeah, see, it does smell. But anyways, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? But in Numbers chapter 10, verse 9, it says, "When you go into battle in your land against an enemy who is oppressing you, sound a blast on the trumpets. Then you will be remembered by the Lord your God and rescued from your enemies." Isn't that great? So sometimes you might, when you're at home, just go, boo-boo, boo-boo, you know, since you don't have one. But, you know, we're going to blow some trumpets here this morning. We're going to have Janice, they don't know this, but we'll have Janice and Jimmy, because I think, Jimmy, you must have your trumpet. You bring it every week, so you'll be here. But what I want to just focus on here, the other thing that the Lord has really been talking to me about is that he is my source in everything. And I think if we just look at him and we say, God, you're my source, because God's my source, he knows everything. It says, because God knows everything, he knows what we need. Isn't that incredible? Psalm 147:5 says, "Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits." You know, sometimes when we're going through things, we're like, God, what are you doing? But, you know, sometimes even when we're going through the negative stuff, we're like, God, what are you doing? But God knows everything. He maybe knows that we need to just kind of go through that so that we will shift directions, or so that we will, our integrity or our character will just, you know, increase in terms of godly character and godly integrity. Number B is, there is nothing impossible for our God. He can change circumstances. Can he? You know, I look at Clark, I look at Shirley, I look at, you know, a number of people in this place and how God has come and changed the circumstances and done incredible miracles. In Luke 1:37, it says, "For nothing is impossible with God." And the other one is, because he is everywhere, he's able to use every resource he has for our benefit. Isn't that incredible? In Philippians 4:19, it says, "And my God will meet all of your needs according to his riches." Isn't that great? And, you know, those are the things that when we're blowing the trumpet, that we need to begin to declare. We need to declare that he knows everything about us. We need to declare that he can change the circumstances. And we need to declare that he knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end. He just knows what it's about. I think that, you know, in terms of what we want to do now is just really do a bit of ministry into walking in victory. So I'm going to have Stephen just come up with me for a little bit here. But when we were looking earlier, we were looking at, you know, David and Goliath, and we were looking at that he needs strategies. So how many people right now in their situation, they feel like a David? They feel like, I'm young or old, whatever, but you feel small. You feel small and inexperienced, and you feel like, you know, the giant, you know, is too big, and you're just a little bit nervous. How about you stand up if you feel that that's you? Yeah. You know, the Lord is able to walk you through incredible victories, and we want to surround you as a body today and just declare that you are not little, that you are big in everything, because God, your Heavenly Father, is big in the situation. So I just want to pray over you. How about the people around you? Just begin to stretch your arms to them right now. Just surround them. Yep.
So one of the things about David is that before he had giants, he had smaller victories that he won, didn't he? He beat bears and lions, which for most of us, that would be equivalent to a giant. But for him, that was a beginning stage, and he knew that if God helped him there, he could help him with something bigger. So, Father, for every person who's standing right now, and there appears to be giants, there appears to be big obstacles, there appears to be big struggles ahead, we just declare that your God is able. Your God not only is able, your God is willing. Your God has all resources. The Bible says, according to his riches and glory. And because God is big and powerful and knows everything and is everywhere, there's nowhere you can go that God isn't already there and hasn't already prepared the path. And we just speak that into you, that God likes to knock giants over. He loves that. And we bless you as you obey the little things that the Holy Spirit would speak to you about. We bless you to be obedient to every little thought, every little revelation that comes your way.
And I feel like the Lord is saying to you right now is don't give up. Don't give up. I think of the testimony of John Arnott, how and Carol Arnott, and you'll have to actually get their book and hear some of it. But just some of the things that they went through, because they were both married before, and some of the terrible things that happened. And I remember John in his testimony said, "Well, I'll never be able to be a pastor because of this situation." And one day somebody just challenged him and said, "What do you mean? You'll never be able to do that." And I feel like there's a situation where maybe somebody has spoken over you and said, "You'll never be able to do that because." And you know what? I think right now I just want to break that off of you. But first you just need to repent for believing the lie. So say a prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I choose to forgive.
Anybody.
That would have told me. That I couldn't do this. I release them now. Of all my judgments. Okay, I'm just going to pray over you. Father, I'm asking right now in the name of Jesus Christ that you would just come and cut off those lies that have been spoken over them that they couldn't do those things, Father, that they wouldn't be able to do the things that you told them that they were supposed to do, Lord. I'm praying, Father, the word of God over them, Lord. I'm asking for your truth to come into their lives right now. And Father, that these are your sons and your daughters. And Father, everything is possible. God knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about your situation. You know, the Lord is great. And he is awesome and mighty. And you keep praying for those people. But I felt, you know, just the ones that were, you know, and this will be twofold. There's people here that I feel that, you know, and I talked about it earlier, that are going to be fasting or have been fasting and praying. How about you stand up? I know normally you do it in a hidden place. But then there's people that feel that they're going to come into that season, that they're going to fast and pray. How about you stand up? Because, you know, the whole thing about fasting prayer, I talked about that, you know, when I did that 40-day fast, you know, with sort of draining out the toxins sort of from the TV and the, you know, that my sleeps were so much better when those things came off. And so, Father, I'm asking right now that you would just come and just give these ones clarity, Father, in terms of what you're going to do in this season. Father, I'm praying that you would show them, the ones that have been fasting and praying already, Lord, and I know for some of you, you're coming to an end of that. Lord, I'm praying for an affirmation, Lord, from you, from the Word of God, from people around them that would begin to speak through God, just, you know, the Holy Spirit, where they're going to know exactly the purpose and see the end result of it. And Lord, for the ones that are getting ready, Father, to fast and pray, Lord, I pray that you would condition their body right now. Father, I pray the ones that are getting ready to fast and pray that if they're going to do caffeine, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would begin to condition their body so that there would not be the toxins that when they wake up the next morning, they've got headaches and things like that. Father, I pray that these ones would really be able to enter that place just wholeheartedly, Father, feeling your presence all along the way, Lord. I pray that you would protect their prayer times, that you would protect the times that they have with you, Lord. I pray, Father, that if it's a food fast and they're doing whatever they're doing, Lord, that you would give them the physical strength to do whatever you've asked them to do.
Can I get everyone to stand up who your struggle is with people? So it's maybe a boss, a neighbor, a spouse, kids, best friends. Can I just remind you, those of you that are standing, that actually your struggle is never against people. Bible says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against junk that just happens to be in these people, correct? So let's pray favor for these people that are standing. If someone's right by you, because God's able to turn the hearts of other people around, isn't he? And again, the stuff that is in them that happens to be coming out, it looks like that person, but actually there's other things that are going on. And so, Father, we're asking in the name of Jesus, Father, we're actually declaring that whatever issues are in other people, that Satan would be using them and using just their stuff, their situations, their history, and those kind of things are happening, and it seems like we're the brunt. It seems like they're taking it out on us. And, Father, we just say, would you heal those people of whatever's going on. Would you bind the demonic influences in those folks' lives? And Father, we're asking for favor instead of conflict. We're asking, Father, instead of curses, that blessings would be coming from these people. And Father, help us not to judge these people. Help us not to criticize these people. Help us to understand that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities, against spirits. And so, Father, we thank you that even against spirits, we have the victory. Bible says, greater is the Holy Spirit in us than every single spirit in the world ganged up together.